pain, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
When you think that you can take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And speaking of sliding in here, I was running just a little bit late, and then I found out everybody else was running a little bit late, too, so I guess it worked out okay. Welcome to the Shooting Bench, 24th of January, and it's a Wednesday. Got hopefully a few interesting things to talk about. Got a class coming up this weekend over in far, way far eastern Arizona. And then there's still the one. I probably ought to quit talking about the one in Vancouver. It's a long time away. You guys will get tired of hearing about it. Maybe I'll just mention it once a week or something. We do already have people signing up for that one. So it is carved in stone, and it will be happening 11th, 12th, and 13th of May. And there's a slim possibility that we may stay an additional week and do another one. Not far from there. I can't say too much about it yet because of the people that have asked for the class, but it's a possibility, and once I find out, it won't be, I don't think it will be closed to the public. It may be. We got to find out a little bit more about it. I was just contacted by those people today, so it'll be another probably another 2 or 3 weeks or so before we find out too much about that one. All right, still planning one in Pueblo, Colorado, and another one that may happen either there, here, or halfway in between here and there. Not sure about that one yet either. And that one's also a private group. So, okay, with all that out of the way, got several gun things to talk about. We've got some other really stupid things to talk about here too. Like this one right here. This woman took advantage of a return policy at Costco, which with Costco's anti-gun policy serves them right. I don't care. But she returned a dead Christmas tree. Yeah, got a full refund. Costco, no questions asked. I think there needs to be a little common sense imposed here some way or another. They said the warehouse club allows members to return almost anything they've purchased at any time for a full refund, 90-day limit on electronics. You'd think they'd put a 60-day limit on Christmas tree or 30-day limit on Christmas tree or whatever. Or maybe she returned it within that time. Anyway, she put it to the test, brought the Christmas tree back, got a full refund for it. Now, there you go. That's what our society is coming to. I'm not sure who's the most to blame, her for being dishonest and unethical or Costco for being stupid enough to do it. I'm not sure which, but I guess everyone has heard that Trey Gowdy is resigning, stepping down from the House Ethics Committee. That's going to be very disappointing. I'm not sure what exactly he's going to do after this, but excuse me. I'll be very disappointed in not to be able to watch his videos again where he is, ripping some of these people, ripping them. And I love to watch Trey Gowdy. But anyway, I guess we'll find out here soon what plans to happen there. This story is out of, let me see, I think this one. Oh no, this one's out of Chicago. Another happy ending. Chicago robbery suspect dead after being shot in the head by a concealed carry holder. So it's working. Crime is going down in Chicago. As of right now, crime has gone down just a little bit. The 23-year-old guy walked up. He was armed. Walked up to a 58-year-old legal gun toter. Tried to rob him. Police said the older man pulled his gun out and shot him in the head. And there you go. So, on to our next story. I love it when the plan comes together. I got this one from Susie B. This happened up in Washington. This was a bar employee there at a place called O'Finnegan's in Everett, Washington. And apparently there was an altercation there, and a bar employee, the details are not all that important right now. The 29-year-old man left the bar, retrieved a gun from his vehicle, began firing shots in the parking lot, and apparently no one was hurt. But we'll stop that. There we go. Let's see, when did the, 29-year-old, yeah, it was hurting one of the customers, there it was. And a 28-year-old employee at the bar, who was armed and working at the time, killed the suspect. Another happy ending. No arrests have been made. The customer's expected to recover and all's well, and I imagine they're sitting around having a beer and talking about good old days. Let me go in here before I get too carried away. Actually, I have gotten more carried away than I had planned to. And let me look at the chat room and see who all is here. We've got Tebow's joined us, NM Glock, and Doc and DeTinker and Copper and Nan and Northwest Heavy. Northwest Heavy, your class, I don't know if you were here a while ago, but the class is a go up there. We're getting people signed up for it as we sprecken right now. So you can plan accordingly, 11th, 12th, and 13th of May. Pumpkin Cat, good to see you. I don't get to see you too often. You only leave a little early, but I understand being where you're at. And we have, oh, I guess that's Yakima Glock. A couple of anonymous, sir. All right. Very good. All right, let me continue to march. I'm trying to clean up some of the stuff off the old crystal ball here. Here is a guy that, these stories right here really tick me off. This kid that was in Calgary was reprimanded for defending his classmate against a knife, bully with a knife. Now, he was sitting in class, teacher was on the other side of the room, and, this kid is in seventh grade. One kid started harassing another one. And, the hero was in between two desks and he was poking and prodding this guy and said he put him in a headlock and I saw that. He added, I didn't see the knife, but I heard the flick and I heard them say there was a knife. See, the rest, he said, was just instinct. He said he stepped up to defend his classmate, pushing the knife-wielding bully away. The teacher took notice. The principal was summoned, and the kid, the 13-year-old hero, went about his day. It wasn't until fourth period that everything went haywire. And why is my crystal ball having a short circuit here? This is not cool. Well, there it is. Hey, let's see. Jerry Municipal Officials Gaver. Well, I don't know what happened to my story. It just disappeared. Anyway, the principal and teacher chastised the kid, and if I remember the story correctly, he got suspended, or he got in trouble anyway. Here we go. I got it. Said I got called to the office and I wasn't able to leave until the end of the day. And that's when the kid's mother got a call and my mother came in and he said that the principal said he decided to play hero and jump in. I find that very difficult I don't see any problem with that. The guy pulls a knife and is attacking a kid, harassing him, bullying him. This kid jumps in. He said he stuck up for himself with a bully one time, and they actually gave him hell for it. Anyway, mother says she understands the school's desires to keep students from getting hurt, but thinks we're teaching them the wrong lesson. Well, obviously. Anyhow. So that's what's going on in Calgary right now. Sadly. Governor Christie has found some, we have to stop here for just a minute. Yakima Glock posted something. I saw that, Yakima Glock. You know, I'm not a fan of that. Once you learn how to run a pump effectively and learn how to run it right, I find zero benefit to detachable magazines, especially some of those they've got. So they get 5, 10, I think 15 and 20 round magazines, or 5, 10 and 20 anyway. Can you imagine how that throws the balance of the gun off? It's going to change everything. And look how unwieldy, especially that 20 rounder. It sticks out, you know, 16 inches below the gun. You've just taken away the beauty of a short barreled shotgun. Or it didn't even have to be a legally termed short barreled shotgun. Let's just say an 18 inch shotgun. You've taken and turned it into something that you can't operate in close quarters. And now all of a sudden it becomes something that is operated best off of sandbags in front of a window or something.
I can't see any benefit. With a pump running normally, you can keep that thing running as long as you can find shells. Even if you have to feed them one at a time, you can still shoot it pretty fast. In the length of time that it takes to drop that magazine and change it, especially that big old magazine, how many of those are you going to carry on you anyway? And you no way that you're going to have magazine carriers that size and you're going to be able to retain that magazine. You're going to have to hope that maybe you can come back for it after the fact. But this is, it changes the weight, changes the balance, and I just can't see any benefit to this whatsoever. I don't know how much magazines are going to be, and I'm really, frankly, I'm a little surprised that it's taken them this long to do something. You know, people will flock to it. That's one of the reasons I never liked the Sega. The Sega is a great gun. It runs well. It's, you know, they're about as foolproof as any other AK-style gun. But I just can't, you know, we sold a bunch of them when I had the store open, and then I took them out and shot them and played with them and everything. I just could not warm up to that magazine. It's too clumsy to change, and you have to throw the magazine down on the ground, and you have to have some way to carry a bunch of them, so it just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, it'll sell. There's no question about it. People will jump on it like skinny on a toothpick. I mean, they'll be buying them just as fast as they can make them, but they're not going to sell one to me. I don't even want one. Now, if you want to give me one, I guess it'd be all right. So, Doc, when you get a chance, if you want to grab one up and just send it to me, that'll be okay. But it, the Taker, let's think about this. If what you're saying is true, if it reduces muzzle rise, isn't that going to throw off the whole rhythm of things as the magazine starts to get empty when you get used to shooting it with a full magazine? If it reduces muzzle rise, it probably does with the bigger magazines. But as this fight continues out in the woods somewhere, after a poop hit the fan situation, you have managed somehow to retain some magazines for this thing. How does the rhythm and the balance change as the, how does the balance change as this magazine starts to empty? So, I, not a fan. Okay. All right, Detinker, I got you. I had to throw that in there anyway because it, I mean, it's a logical assumption, and it probably actually does reduce muzzle rise in the beginning. How does it do later on? But, that 20 round magazine sticking out a foot and a half below the gun just doesn't trip my trigger in the tiniest bit. I have no desire whatsoever. I don't even want to play with one. I just don't care. If they quit making them today, I would never miss them. I don't care. Anyway, Governor Christie has found a little conscience somewhere. He's on his way out, and he has pardoned a few people. And one of them, he said there was granted 26 pardons, or 26 orders for clemency. Most of them were pardons, bringing his 8-year total to only 55. The one of them is the... You remember Brian Aitken? We talked about him on the show as this was happening. He was the guy that, I don't remember what he did. He had a 13-round magazine in his trunk or in his back seat or something like that and wound up going to jail. He committed a felony in New Jersey over this, and they sent him to jail. He was, here it is. It wasn't a magazine. It was arrested in 2009 with two locked and unloaded handguns that he had purchased legally in Colorado in the trunk of his car. That's what it was. Had originally been sentenced to 7 years in prison and released after 4 months following a commutation order from Governor Christie in 2010. And later on, he wrote a book about the thing. So anyway, You put a nine rounder, Tubular magazine. That's what Mountain Shooter's talking about, extended magazine, Tubular magazine on there. Cause best of my knowledge, except for maybe some, custom made gun somewhere, I don't think I've ever seen an 870 with a detachable magazine. But, you know, I like 870s. I don't have anything against them. I just don't like it as a fighting gun. I like it as a hunting gun. But when you learn to run a Mossberg, you smoke an 870. And I absolutely destroyed those people at Front Sight when I went with my 590. Every time I went over there and took that, I got what was called a DG, a distinguished graduate in the shotgun classes. And that 590 is a tough act to follow if you learn how to run it. All right, crystal ball. Let's see. Let me keep it up here. Poke the right button. There we go. This is old news right now. I'm just going to throw this in there real quick. We saw the alert in Hawaii, right, for the missile attack. And apparently the military seemed to know that it was false after 5 minutes. Why was it that they took 48 minutes to let the general public know? And during that time, there was all kinds of panic going on, okay? Well, I think we talked about that a little bit, but I don't believe we talked about it 3 days later, is that Japan had the same type of deal. And, you know, in all these years that these systems have been in place, none of this has ever happened. Then we have two of them inside of a week. Now, I don't have any clever theory here as to what happened and why that, why it took place and why it took so long to get it squared away. But it's dang sure something to think about. So Yakima Glock said Remington did come out with a MagFed 870 a month or so ago. Okay, I didn't see that. I don't keep up with the magazines and stuff, gun magazines like I used to, Guns and Ammo and stuff like that. But anyway, okay, so they got one. I still don't like it. Not interested. Doc, you're asking these people to sacrifice everything. Because if they have to wait till I convert to the 1911, they're going to be waiting a very, very long time. So we probably ought to just move off of that subject. Although we do like 590s, so that's good. Okay. Now, you guys, some of you are probably acquainted. I know that Copper and M. Glock and Yakima Glock and a few of the rest of you are familiar with Robbie Latham. He is hell on wheels. He's fast. He's accurate. He's articulate. He speaks well. I mean, I really like Robbie. He does well. However, this latest video that he came out with here is silly as hell to me. One of the, it's not my favorite, but he put one of the gun writers put a deal on Facebook, said Robbie Latham has solved the issue forever about the 9mm and 45 debate. Well, number one, that's never going to be solved forever. Ever, ever going to be solved. Number two, he didn't do anything. I mean, they was shooting some steel plates. 45 knocked him down, the 9mm didn't. So what? Nobody has ever questioned that the 45 was more powerful than the 9mm. No one has ever questioned that the 45 delivers more energy to the target than the 9mm. The question is, which one of them has the best terminal ballistics? Does the bullet expand? Does it stay together? Does it completely penetrate? What does it do when it gets there? And that's why the 9mm, since the 80s, with the invention of, what was it? I think it was the Hydroshock, 147 grain Hydroshock, I think it was, has had equal to, or I think at that time it was 2% more one-shot stops on actual living, breathing human beings than the 45 did. If I recall, the 9mm at that time was 80%, and the 45 was 78%. Well, fast forward until 1998, and with new bullets coming out for the 45 ACP, that has now jumped to 91% for the 9mm and 94% for the 45. So, and I've asked this question 1,000 times. Do you think the bad guy really knows the difference in 3% of the two different bullets? Answer, no, he does not. So if you're that close, my money still goes to the 9mm. If I can get 91% one-shot stop probability and have 12, 15, 17 rounds, lower recoil, higher velocity, better bullet performance, then we still didn't solve anything. All we proved was that the 45 knocks over steel plates better than the 9mm does. So what?
So anyway, now my mouse quit. Where there it goes. All right. Yeah, I know Robbie works for Springfield. I've watched him. I've watched several of his videos out there. He's a good shooter. He does. There's no doubt about it. I wouldn't take anything away from it. I just think this last video was kind of dumb. I mean, there's not any semi-reasonably intelligent adult that shoots at all that ever thought that the 9mm had more power than the 45. In my mind, he just wasted ammo. So, all right. Well, I'm going to take a little break here. And wet my whistle. I'm getting a little hoarse. Now, I'm actually, that's not a pony little horse, but you know what I mean. So stand by just a second. And let's, let me find something good here. It don't have to be good. I'm just going to put this on because I haven't played it for at least a week.
Find a dream. solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, let's finish this up. I suppose everyone's heard the Department of Justice is considering arresting some of the Sanctuary City politicians here. We'll see how that goes. Not holding my breath here. So, I've got some more gun stuff, but have you seen the big, well, of course you have, it's all over, especially if you're a Facebooker. The deal with the memo, the FISA memo, the FISA, what is it, Foreign Intelligence, Security Agency, whatever it is, I don't remember what it stands for. It has something to do with foreign intelligence anyway. And, I've seen what I have been led to believe is part of that memo. And it is unbelievable what's going on there. They say that it makes Watergate look like a child's play. It puts it to shame. So apparently, and they actually use these terms. Those of you that are Mormon or have Mormon, you know, background or friends or something, would understand this, why it seems important to us, but they actually used the word secret society. And there was a faction, a secret society inside the FBI, evidently, apparently, that is doing some things that are grossly illegal up to and including planning harm to the president. This next 60 to 90 days here is going to be exceedingly interesting, I think. I don't know what will come out of this, you know, as far as long-term solutions or repercussions of it. I know what needs to come out of it, but we'll see what happens. But there was like 50,000 emails or text messages deleted. So here we have Hillary that managed to lose 30-some-odd thousand emails, and we've had servers destroyed and all kinds of other stuff here. And so far, apparently, they are completely above the law, and nothing's happening to any of them. So a lot of that happened before Trump got in. Now that he's there, let's see what, if anything, happens now. Here's a another quick little story here. You know how I have talked. Stand by 1 second, please. Well, never mind. I guess you heard that. I forgot to mute the mic. So now that your ears are ringing and I've been totally unprofessional, let's go on with the story here. You know, we've talked numerous times about cops that have killed dogs for no reason at all. Remember the time when we talked about the one who tried to cut that pit bull's throat and kill it? And there's been numerous dogs, dozens, hundreds probably, dogs shot for no reason. They may have, you know, barked or something, but, you know, a lot of dogs bark. Post office, I mean, postal carriers, postal workers have been, you know, dealing with dogs for how many years? And they never had to shoot one yet. Yes. The Yakima Glock, the one I saw was heavily redacted, yes. So anyway, this one right here, attempted, dog was barking, tried to shoot it, and shot himself in the leg. That hand needs to come get some training from Southwest Shooting Authority, I can tell you that right now. So, anyway. Nothing, it's not, wasn't life-threatening or anything, but they said, the guy who's talking about this rabid, vicious monster that needed to be put down here, and the dog was a lot smaller than the officer reported. He was happy, he wasn't doing anything, he barked. From a distance, he wasn't even charging, he was sitting out there barking. And the cop decided to shoot him. What a punk. And then he shot himself in the leg. I thought that was awesome. Fired one round, injured himself in the leg. The officer shot himself. However, the dog ran away, terrified of the noise. Imagine that, such a bloodthirsty killer running from the sound of a shot. Anyway, the dog's name is Precious, by the way. He was not taken by animal services, and nothing happened. They looked at the video and all this stuff and the kids playing with the dog and said, you know what? I don't know what your problem was, but you did not need to try to shoot this dog. If any of you have not carved in stone your boycott for the NFL, this should do it. If it don't, I want you to quit listening to my show, unfriend me from Facebook, go down to the river where the water is nice, stick your head under three times, and bring it up twice. Got that? The NFL has rejected a Super Bowl ad from the group, you know, AmVets, American Veterans, put together this ad. This cost a lot of money. It cost a ton of money. And what it is hashtag, it contained the hashtag, hashtag please stand. And the ad was hold the American flag. It also included a call to donate $20 to AmVets. You know, it's all well and good. That jumps right into all this controversy about the players kneeling and all that. And they rejected it. They won't play it. So it doesn't affect my opinion in the NFL at all because they're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon track already. So I have no desire whatsoever to listen, watch. I don't care who won. I don't care who's playing. Doesn't matter. They are dead to me. The whole thing is dead. There you have it. I said it.
Okay, we're going to save that for another whole show there. Now, federal courts have upheld the interstate handgun purchase ban. This is brand new as of yesterday. Three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit ruled that the federal law prohibiting handgun sales to out-of-state residents is in the public interest. I've struggled with this for a very long time as to why this is an issue, but apparently they still think so. Nothing has changed in that regard. Several people have tried to have sued and whatnot and tried to get this changed, and the courts have said it ain't going to happen. So I imagine it's going to be quite a while before this is brought up again. You know, these little talk here of the auto mags and everything. I actually bought an auto mag. I bought no, it wasn't an auto mag either. I'm sorry. It was an AMT, Arcadia Machine and Tool. I had a 1911, believe it or not. This was way before Glocks were ever invented, so I have an excuse. And I bought it while I was in Germany. And then I had to, something happened there at the last minute, and I was not able to get the papers and all the stuff to get it back, so I actually lost it. And I was not a happy camper, although I look back now and say, oh well. I just sold it and went out anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let's see here. I'm trying to get through a bunch of these as quick as I can and get my crystal ball cleared up. It's getting a little bit foggy. You heard about the school shooting that was yesterday, I believe. 2 dead, 18 injured, I think, as it stands as of 11:30 Eastern time this morning. 15-year-old kid. This is the second major school shooting that's happened in Kentucky. Remember years ago, the one that happened in Paducah, Kentucky. That was quite a deal. And if I remember right, that's one where the kid in that shooting, they watched videos, surveillance videos of it. And I think that's the shooting that I'm thinking of here. And this kid was it's one of them anyway. It don't make any difference whether it was that one or not. It's not relevant to the story. But this kid that was in this shooting that I'm talking about was a video game master. I mean, he was cock of the walk, top dog on the totem pole when it comes to some of these video games. What he did was went in there and he just stood there and made headshot after headshot, made good headshots over and over. And I think it's safe to say, and I think Yakima Glock and Copper would back me up on this. There's probably not very many, if any, rank and file cops that don't spend a lot of time training on their own dime that could accomplish such a feat. This kid, and he got it all from playing video games. He moved moved slightly, very robotic, side to side, and just blasted him. And I'm pretty sure that was the Paducah, Kentucky one. I don't remember. Let's see. Mountain Shooter says, I have one. I don't know, have one what. I guess it's the AMT, the hardballer. Yeah, that's what I had, is a stainless steel hardballer. If I take a multi-state concealed weapons class, even though I live in California, can I carry in other states like Nevada? Yes, you can. It depends on which state that you get. Let's say Arizona is the single best permit in the United States. It right now is, I think, 36 states if you're a resident of Arizona. If you're a non-resident, it's only about 32 states. Reason being is because there's a few states. Colorado is one of them.
that does not recognize your permit unless you are a resident of the state that your permit is from. So as a resident of California, yes, you could get an Arizona permit. Yes, you could carry in 30 some odd states. You could not carry in Colorado because your permit is not from the state that you reside in. Makes perfectly no sense to me, but that's the way it is. But yeah, you could carry in Nevada. Yeah, I think Nevada picked up Arizona again. They eight-balled it for a while, but I think Nevada is now, the Arizona is back on the Nevada list. You cannot carry in Washington. As a matter of fact, Washington has dropped, has recently dropped Florida also. So, but they have picked up Utah. So if you were to get a Utah permit, you could also carry in Washington State. Utah is a pretty good permit. It doesn't have quite as many states as Arizona, but it's not bad.
The only thing is you have to have, training from,
you have to have a Utah approved instructor. My multi-state class is not adequate for Utah anymore. I think I'm going to change that though this spring, sometime here in the not too distant future. I think I'm going to go on back up to Utah, get certified again, and add that to my list of states, because there are a few that recognize Utah that don't recognize others. So anyway. All right, let's see. Let's see if we can hit another one or two here before we run out of time. Kentucky school shooting. Oh, here's a good one. And this is not relevant to guns or anything. This is relevant to stupid. This guy couldn't pour water out of a boot if the instructions was written on the bottom of it. I mean, I've been drunk before, but good Lord, please. This guy passed out in the drive-thru of the bank, and they went out there and woke him up, and he thought he was at Taco Bell and tried to order a burrito. No, I'm not making it up. It's a real story. Happened in Spring Hill, Florida. And as you might guess, surprisingly, he was charged with DUI. 38-year-old Douglas John Francisco, arrested Wednesday evening outside of Bank of America branch in Spring Hill, say employees spotted him passed out in the bank's drive-up lane after the workers banged on his car for some time. He finally woke up and tried to order a burrito. The branch manager told him it wasn't Taco Bell. He drove off to the front parking lot. Deputies found him there with the car running, arrested after failing to pass a field sobriety test. I can bet you that he didn't pass that test at all. It sounded like he was studying for it pretty good, but I don't think he passed it. Oh, dear me. All right, let's see. Oh, you gun guys be interested in this. Weatherby's moving after, 70-some years, I think. Weatherby is going to Sheridan, Wyoming, moving from California. And that's cool. I applaud their decision. An estimated 70 to 90 jobs are going to be created, $5 million annually in payroll in the next 5 years. So this is a great shot in the arm for Sheridan. Sheridan's not a real big town, not a whole lot going on up there. But if you like to hunt big whitetails, Sheridan is a place to go. There are some nice whitetails around some of those farms up there. Really nice. Yeah, the rest of the story is all not all that relevant. You can look that up. Over 70 years, Weatherby has been the innovator in firearms design and manufacture. Yeah, Weatherby's fine weapons. Nothing wrong with them at all. Let's see if we can fit another one in here. Protesters at the SHOT Show, I guess you may have heard about that. They they got stopped, armed security guards got them shut down before anything happened there. So that was good. And I'm not even going to read that one. That one's sick. I'll save that one some other time. All right, I did pretty good. I whittled my list down adequately there. So, Yakima Glock, I understand that he never did get that burrito. Yeah, I think that I think he's still waiting for it. But Doc, you know, me and my cousin was sitting at a drive-up bank window one time in Grants, New Mexico. And we were cashing our checks. We were working out on the same drilling rigs. And, or I was. Maybe I was cashing my check. I don't remember. But anyway, sitting at the drive-up window. And lady starts counting the money out. And instead of picking up the right amount of money to start with, she just had, you know, a handful of $100 bills and was going to count out the correct amount and put the rest back. Well, about that time, as she's counting, and I'm holding my hand out, my cousin said, "Elephants." I said, "What?" And sure enough, across the street, some circus had stopped, and they got let their elephants get out and stretch their legs. So we had elephants walking around Grants, New Mexico. And me and the teller and my cousin was all looking and talking about the elephants, and she's steadily counting $100 bills. So when she got all done, thank you very much, I put the money in my pocket, and we drove to Albuquerque. And I got there and found out that she had counted me $100 bill too much. So anyway, that's what happens when elephants walking around in front of the bank. They probably changed the way they count the $100 bills now. All right, well, I've had all the fun I can stand. I've cleared my throat and your ear probably plenty enough times already to get you to not want to ever come back and listen to me ever again. So I'm going to get out of here, and Liberty Lounge coming up on Friday. So far, everything's looking good. I'm not sure what the theme's going to be. I may, I still want to work on this deal that Yakima Glock, or NM Glock has suggested to me, and he suggested like 800 times, and I need to get it done. It's a good theme, it's a good idea. I just haven't got around to putting it together yet. So, I don't know. I've only got one day to get it. And the thing is that I have to find all the songs, record all the songs, and put them because in this format was kind of like the deal we did last Friday. I need to be able to talk in between songs. And I don't know. We'll try it. I'll think about it and see if we can get it done. But, nevertheless, no matter what happens, we will have Liberty Lounge on Friday. So, good night. Appreciate y'all joining me. We'll see you then.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation, no, let's talk it over. Number I can call, goodbye says it all.